Several recent racially charged episodes in the Boston area have rekindled discussion about the racial climate here, discussion that reached into the WBUR newsroom in this way. While conducting a recent interview in the Back Bay, reporter Simone Rios ended up recording a white man calling a black man the N-word. This warning about this story. In reporting on this episode, Simone will play that recording without removing the offensive language. It occurs about 15 seconds into this story, which begins now.
A few weeks ago, I was interviewing a pastor named Laura Everett at an intersection where a bicyclist was recently hit and killed. In the background, you hear a pedestrian yelling at another pedestrian using the N-word.
It was a cyclist.
Reverend Everett and a young man standing at the corner look at each other in disbelief.
Did that happen?
Did that just happen?
Yeah. If you ever need an example of human sinfulness, just look at the roads, right? We're so cruel to one another.
I've really never seen that happen before.
Yeah.
When I grew up in South Carolina, you see something that's so hateful and you can't even rationalize that it just happened.
Everett crosses Commonwealth Avenue to catch up with the black man.
Thought I'd ask, see how he was doing, see if he heard it too. I don't see him anymore.
We finished our interview and I returned to the newsroom, wondering what to do with the recording. We decided to report it in a story, given the number of racial incidents in Boston of late and the city's long and complex legacy of race relations. That legacy got some national attention earlier this year. Saturday Night Live's Michael Che called out the city before the New England Patriots played the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl.
For 3 hours, I just don't want to talk about any social issues or politics. I just want to relax, turn my brain off, and watch the blackest city in America beat the most racist city I've ever been to.
And a few months later, Baltimore Orioles center fielder Adam Jones reported that someone at Fenway Park called him the N-word. The mayor and the governor and the president of the Red Sox all spoke out against the racist language. And the next night, fans greeted Jones in a fashion rare for an opposing player.
He's getting a standing O now.
A sizable percentage of the Fenway fans coming to their feet to acknowledge Jones, not as a visiting player, but as a human being who should not have had to hear what he heard last night.
Harvard Law professor Randall Kennedy wrote a book about the N-word, the word referred to as the atomic bomb of racial slurs.
Not only is it used in that way, was it used, 33 years ago, but is it used in that way today? Sure it is.
Kennedy says the current political climate has created a sense that bigotry can be okay.
I think there's some people who are saying, oh, this is great. I can now come forward and say things that before I didn't think that I could safely say.
And the data back that up. The Anti-Defamation League of New England has reported an increase in anti-Semitic and other hate incidents in the state since the election of Donald Trump. And the state attorney general's office says it's received 10 reports of the N-word being used over the same period. Kennedy says he's heard the word used hatefully just a few times over his 3 decades in the city. He stresses that people who spew racial epithets are not characteristic of the Boston he knows.
What's characteristic of Boston are the people who say, we don't like that, and we are going to further marginalize racism wherever it pops up.
But what's characteristic isn't always what makes the news. What does is when a school punishes 2 black girls for wearing hair braid extensions. That's what happened recently at the Mystic Valley Regional Charter School in Malden. The school's board of trustees met to suspend the hair policy 2 days after the attorney general denounced it for singling out students of color. Rasan Hall is one of the people who came out to show solidarity with the girls in Malden. He's director of the Racial Justice Program for the ACLU of Massachusetts. I asked him to contrast Boston against other parts of the country.
We can't necessarily compare whether or not people are calling black folks the N-word more so here than in New Jersey or in Detroit or somewhere in the Deep South. But what I do know is that the structural disparities that exist in Massachusetts are worse than some of the national disparities.
Hall points to studies that show African Americans in Massachusetts fare worse than the rest of the country in the economy, the schools, and the prisons. Nationwide, blacks are nearly 6 times more likely than whites to be incarcerated. In Massachusetts, they're almost 8 times more likely.
To me, that says that Boston and Massachusetts has more significant problems with race than other places in the country.
Hall is talking about structural racism, the idea that society is structured in a way that discriminates against minorities. So, is there a connection between structural racism and the kind of racism where a white man feels free to shout the N-word at a black man? For Rahsaan Hall, the answer is yes. He says acts of individual racism are supported and inspired by structural racism.
It's easy to point out the person that's obviously doing racist things. It's harder to have a conversation about the people who are maintaining systems of oppression. And until we get to that and start teasing that apart, there's really not going to be any substantive change.
2 weeks after my interview with Reverend Laura Everett, I visited her in her office on Beacon Hill. She says she's thought a lot about how she reacted on the street.
I was caught off guard, but that's not a sufficient excuse either.
Everett turns the pages of an old Bible for guidance.
The sort of ultimate story of that Christians point to is about the Good Samaritan, about how to be a good neighbor. And so as a bystander, where was I in that? Why did I not go after the guy who said this and say, hey, you can't just walk across the street and use that word to someone? Why did I not intervene?
Everett says she's now looking for appropriate ways to respond. And law professor Randall Kennedy has some thoughts.
If someone was to say, for instance, that's a terrible thing to say, shame on you, seems to me that that would be a nice response.
Kennedy says it's also important to approach the person who's been maligned. Bear witness, he says. Tell the person you saw what happened. Express sympathy and make it clear you're not okay with it. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios.